Aren't you thankful for a heart willing to praise the Lord and to give Him praise and a heart to believe? Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to Him today. Lord, we just come to You once again. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to serve You, Lord, and to give You praise and honor and glory. Let's truly do Thy name, Father. We come tonight, Lord, to ask of You once again to come by our way and speak to our hearts, and or to touch lives, and minister to needs, Lord. Lord, You see the sick among us, the different ones suffering, Father. We ask, Lord, that You would just move and touch all the different ones, we pray. We commit them into Your hands, Lord. Bless this service with Your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Amen. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered unto him, saying, Suffer it to be now, so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Just want to take a moment to thank, I'm sure Brother Tim will as well, on Sunday. We got quite a few that's out tonight and sick and different reasons. But you know, we don't preach to crowds. We preach to children of God. So it does not matter how many we have here, amen. It matters that where two or three are gathered, there he'll be. Amen. But we want to thank everyone that was involved in the camp. You know, if you just came down there with your amens, we appreciate that. But for every effort, you know, to make it, I believe it was another successful camp. And so, you know, all the sound and video team, the musicians, the Gator Patrol, those that could be counselors. And you know, even, like I said, those that were unseen and maybe nobody saw what you did, but thank you anyhow, and we sure appreciate it. It was a great camp, and I believe it had a great outcome. I believe we ended up baptizing four souls, but then one went home to be baptized. But there was many that were touched, amen, including myself, and I'm thankful for that. But it could not have happened, you know, without everyone involved. And, you know, I'd like to say you are the best, and we sure appreciate you for that. We heard some wonderful services preached, you know, by Brother Ron and Brother Danny and Brother Andrew, and I thought they were just everyone tremendous and on point had their different ways of doing things, and it just worked out perfectly, and we sure enjoyed that. But God bless each and every one of you for every effort, both great and small. Amen. Also, I'd like to say happy birthday to my wife, Sister Ruth. It's her birthday today, and amen. Thankful for her. And of course, we get to have a little time with Adrian and Ben as well that followed us home after camp. We'll be going home next week. And it's good to be with her, your family. Amen. You don't ever want to take those times for granted. Amen. So we're thankful for that. And we also have Brother Leo here with us from China and his wife, I believe. Yes. And so glad to have them with us. First time I met Brother Leo was in China, I believe, and he was my translator for several services and took us around, and we really appreciate him and the spirit that he works with. Amen. I believe it's the Spirit of God, you know, it's kindred spirits, and it wasn't very hard to get to know him and to work with him, and we sure appreciate him and all that he does. Amen. Tonight, I'd like to speak to you on faith to fulfill. I believe that we're in the time of fulfillment of all things, and there has to be somebody there to fulfill the scriptures that are written about this day. Now, you know, I know we look at all the other examples in the Bible and those that fulfill. Jesus himself would fulfill scriptures, but we also have scriptures to fulfill. Amen. The critics have scriptures to fulfill. Amen. Those who, like Judas, would go and do what he did. There's also those that have to fulfill those scriptures. And you know, as we read this, as Jesus was coming to be baptized, John was like, "Wait a minute, you know, I shouldn't be baptizing you, but you should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, suffer it to be so, for it becometh us." Or it is, in other words, it is fitting, or it is proper, or it is the right thing to do to fulfill, to bring to completion a reality, something that's desired or promised, and to fulfill all righteousness. And Brother Brandon would talk about this many times, about the righteousness he is speaking of was the Word of God. Amen. To fulfill the Word of God that was spoken of him, amen, as a priest that would have to be washed before he could go into service. And he had to fulfill that part. And you know, and you can look, like I said, through the scriptures about even Abraham, you know, when in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, it said when God made a promise to Abraham, because he was could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." But after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So it wasn't just something that was easy or something that was, just a walk in the park. But he had to endure things before he was able to obtain the promise. And we know his life story. We've went through it many times, been preached about many times. That it wasn't just the first day or the first year or the first 10 years that it took place, but it took place in his life because he had faith to fulfill what was spoken of him. Amen. And he held on to it, and he walked with it, and he kept on at what God had promised him. And I believe that God also has a people in this day that has that same kind of faith. Amen. You wonder why people can continue on like they're going, because God has deposited that faith on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And that's what gives us the faith, amen, to stand in the day that we're living in, to stand in the day of critics, to stand in the day of naysayers or name callers, to stand in the middle of all of it, is because God has put a deposit of faith on the inside of us to believe what has been spoken of us. Now, there's many in this time that we're living in that's walking away from the faith, as the scripture talks about the falling away that would take place, and they're fulfilling the scripture that is spoken of them. But, amen, I believe that I'm not talking to a people that's fulfilling that scripture, but they're fulfilling the scripture of the rapture. They're fulfilling the scripture of the body change. They're fulfilling the scripture, amen, as spoken in about the Laodicean church age. There are those that are fulfilling the naked and blind and don't know it, but there's also those that are accepting the eye salve of the Word and the eye salve of God to be able to see things, amen, to be able to be an overcomer in this day. And I believe that's who I'm speaking to tonight. Amen. You know, I was looking at this and I ran across this again, and it's a wonderful thing in the church age book of Pick Up My Pen and Write. And Brother Branham talks about this, and he writes this all out, and he says, "Here he was one night seeking the Lord, and the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. And I grabbed a pen and wrote, began to write, and the Spirit gave me a message for the church, and I want to bring it to you." So, amen, it's for us, amen, that God would anoint the prophet to write these things down. He says, "Here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction is in each species brings forth of its own kind, even according to Genesis 1 and 11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever life was in the seed came forth in the plant, thence into the fruit." And the very same law applies to the church today. Whatever seed started the church, it will come forth and be like the original seed, because it is of that seed. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone, and she will be a super church, a super race as she nears him. They and the bride will be so much like him that they will be in his very image. Amen. This is an order to be united with. with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Denominations can't produce this. Wrong seed. They will produce their creeds and their dogmas and mix with the word. This mongrelizing brings forth a hybrid product. But he said the first son, Adam, was a spoken word seed of God. And he was given a bride to reproduce himself. And that's why the bride was given him to reproduce and to produce another son. And he goes through and he speaks about how the serpent got to her before he did. But then he comes all the way over to Mary. And he said, then the word came to the promise of Mary, the virgin. And that word that was promised was he himself was to be made manifest. God was to be made manifest, acted at that time, and fulfilled his own word of promise in the virgin. It is the angel that brought it, but it's the angel's message was the word of God. It was what was spoken of him. Amen. Isaiah 9:6, and he fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted the word for her to be fulfilled in her. And he said the members of the virgin bride will love him. They will have his potentials, for he is their head and all power belongs to him. They are subjects to him as members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it first showed him by the Father. Excuse me, John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between groom and his bride. And he shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. Amen. For if the seed to be planted and the water will raise it up again, here is the secret of this. You ready for the secret? The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Hallelujah. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that is planted in water, it comes to full harvest, serving his purpose. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling the word. He did not complete all the work while he was here in his earthly ministry. So now he's working in and through a bride. Hallelujah. She knows that for it is not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. Amen. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Amen. So he couldn't fulfill all the scripture in groom form. Amen. He had some of the scripture that had to be fulfilled in bride form. Amen. That the bride had to fulfill it. Amen. It wasn't a tape that was going to fulfill it. It wasn't one man that was going to fulfill it. It was the bride that was going to fulfill it. Amen. And nothing can make her do anything else. I like that statement because what that tells me, the devil can't make me do anything. Amen. Because the word has been deposited inside of me by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's moving inside my life and it's giving me faith to stand no matter what I'm going through, no matter what trials I'm in, no matter what sickness I'm in, no matter what trouble I'm in. I have faith to believe the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And my faith is not dependent upon whether things are good or not, or whether there's money in the bank or not, or whether I'm well or not, or whether I feel good or not. It has nothing to do with that. My faith is dependent upon what his word said. And my faith is standing upon the word, that word that will never pass away. Amen. Your feelings will pass away. You'll have good feelings one day and they'll pass away, and there'll be bad feelings the next day. Then they'll pass away and you'll have good feelings another day. Amen. But the word of God will not pass away. It will stand there no matter if you feel it, if you see it, if anything's or everything's around you cloudy and dismal and dull. It has nothing to do with it. His word is still there. His word is still declaring, amen, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what we're going through. That's why I love that song, Sister, amen. Our Sister Laura sang, amen, I've never walked alone. He's always been. What gives me faith? To continue to walk. Why? Why can I have this faith? Because I am not walking alone. I am not by myself. You are not by yourself. You've been through a lot of trials. You've been through a lot of problems. But never one time have you been through one sickness without Him. Never one time have you been through one trial without Him. Never one time have you been in one battle without Him. He is there. Why can I say that? Because His Word says He is. That's why we're not concerned about whether we got a full church or a half-empty church. It matters not. As long as we got one or two people that come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I will be there. Amen. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with His Word, and He will fulfill His Word. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. You think you have eternal life. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. He says, when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father because the Word is the Father. The Word is God. The Word made manifest is God Himself taking His Word and making it manifest among believers. And nothing can make the Word live but believers. Hello, somebody. None can make the Word live, make it live but believers, just believers. Just believers. Amen. Amen. You know, as we heard this past weekend, God is looking for a body to borrow. I enjoyed that. I don't know about you. Amen. As we heard, He's looking for a body to borrow for what? To fulfill His Word. Amen. He's looking for someone who believes. Why? And has faith. Why? To fulfill His Word. Amen. You know, why did He allow sinners to whip Him? Because He had to fulfill the Word. Why did He allow them to hit Him on the cheek and He opened not His mouth? Because He was doing it to fulfill the Word. Why did He go to the cross? Because He was doing it to fulfill the Word. How many times you read the New Testament and the Gospels and it said He done this so that what Isaiah had spoken had come to pass, be fulfilled. Amen. Why did He go to the cross? Why did He lay in a borrowed tomb? Why did He rise on the third day? Why did He ascend? Because He had to fulfill the Word. Why did He send back His Spirit? So He would have someone with the same faith to fulfill every word spoke of them. Remember, if God has a work for you to do, all the demons of hell cannot take you. We've seen that in Ron Spencer's life. I mean, goodness, if the devil could have took him, he'd have took him at youth camp or in the middle of something. You know, he can't do it unless God's through. Unless the fulfillment is taking place. Amen. They just can't startle you in any way. God has got a purpose for the Holy Ghost Church. I mean, it's part of that Holy Ghost Church. God's got a purpose for the Holy Ghost Church. And all the devils in hell will never be able to take it away. Hallelujah, because there has to be a word to fulfill. Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. He could not say that unless there was somebody to fulfill that. He could not declare it unless He knew there's going to be somebody in the Laodicean church age that's going to overcome Laodicea, that's going to overcome her lukewarmness, going to overcome her unbelief and all the things about her, and going to rise up above it and overcome. He could not declare it unless He knew somebody is going to fulfill it. And He's not here in a man body to fulfill it. He's in a bride body. Amen. We know that. All the devils in hell will never be able to take it away. God got a purpose for it. It'll never be destroyed until God lets us fulfill the purpose He's ordained it to do, and it will. You see, Jesus Christ, so we have the Spirit of Christ, right? What the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of Christ. So if we have the Spirit of Christ, then we must have the same attributes. Amen, right?
had the same attributes. Jesus Christ, no matter if he was in a storm or a gale and it was knocking the boat from one side to the other, or he was standing in the face of a mess of demons, if he was hanging, if they was hanging everywhere, it never moved him. It never moved him. He walked right on, just as calm and quiet as he could be. He was simply unconscious of fear or anything around him. Amen. Whether it was going to happen or whether it wasn't going to happen, he knew it was going to happen because God said it was going to happen. He didn't say, "Oh, I pray. Have I prayed through? Wonder if I fasted long enough? Wonder if I did this enough?" He just walked right on, unconscious. That's right. He believed what God had said was the truth. The words must be fulfilled. And he knew what his life was sent here for, was to fulfill the words spoken of him. And you are here to fulfill it too. So if we understand the word spoke of me, then what do you got to fear? The word said I was going to overcome. So what do you got to fear? Amen. You know, Brother Branham, Eddie Biscoe was telling about the story of the blind man in India being healed. And Brother Branham, I believe, talked with him about it. I've been listening to some of the testimony of Brother Ed, just going through them. And he said, you know, he saw him. This man was a worshiper of the sun, lost his eyes. We know the story. He said, but he saw him standing there healed. Actually, I believe it was, if I remember the story and the details exactly right, but he saw, this man was dark-headed, but he saw this man healed, but he had gray around his ears like that. So obviously, you know, you'd think, well, that's down the road. He said, Brother Branham said, I had to use my faith to believe that was going to happen right now. He had to believe it no matter what anybody said. Any critics, whatever. I'm sure you know the devil was whispering in his ear because he was making a challenge before their gods and the living God. But he had to believe that it's going to happen right now. Jesus also had to believe the word spoken about him. Because when he talked about his body not being broken and bones, it didn't say Jesus. It didn't mention his name. He just spoke about it. But he had to believe that is talking about me. They don't say Timothy was an overcomer of Laodicea or Aaron or Tim Pruitt or whoever. But we have to believe that is talking about me. And I must have the faith to fulfill that word. I tell you, while I'm here, I was listening to him talking about the vision being fulfilled of the bear and the caribou, and he was talking about how that he had, you know, told it, you know, the story, told his wife to throw that old green checkered shirt away, and he fell in some water and went to go find something. And he said, I opened my bag, and he said, there was that. He said, there was that crazy shirt. And he said, I started grumbling. I'm like, my wife don't even listen to me. I told her to throw it away, and I wanted a new shirt for this hunt. I wanted a red one or something. He said, and here she just fixed it, mended it all up. And he said, here I am grumbling while I'm fulfilling a vision. He said, here I am complaining while a vision's being fulfilled. Amen. That's what happens to us many times. We get in life. Do you realize you're fulfilling a vision? What the word has spoken about you. And meanwhile, you grumble and you complain. You're like, why am I going through all this? Why is this happening? Meanwhile, you're fulfilling a vision. Don't worry. God's going to take care of it. He's going to fulfill it. And it's going to come to pass. He'll go past your grumbling. He'll go past your complaining. Because God's word will be fulfilled. So we're here to fulfill it too. So you walk unconscious of fear. You walk unconscious of criticism. That's a hard thing to do. But walk unconscious of it. Walk unconscious to the world. Walk with Christ. Walk with him. Not paying any attention to the right or the left hand. Just keep moving on. If something comes up to the church, walk with God. Amen. If sickness strikes you, walk with God. If your neighbor next to you, hello somebody. If your neighbor next to you says something about you, walk with God. Keep walking with God. Enoch kept doing that until one day he walked all the way home. I believe there's another people about to fulfill that scripture. Amen. Walk with God. Doctor says you're going to die. Walk with God. Amen. Doctor says you can't get well. Walk with God. Just walk with Him. God has promised you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. He took an oath by the covenant He gave you, and He will confirm it. Just walk with God. He says you'll have your ups and downs. Don't worry. You'll go through your briar patches and your sharp rocks and bluffs and down over hillsides and up a mountain and over waters. But every step, walk with God. There's many hills to climb upward. You heard the old song. But how little it seemed when you get to the end of the way. Woo, hallelujah. How little is everything we've been through going to seem to us when we step into that new body? Well, I can tell you how little Satan's going to look when we step into that new body. He has no more power to give us a mind battle or any disease. And he's going to look so little, we're going to narrowly look down on them and say, this is the one? This is the one that caused me to say, throw up my hand and say, I quit? Come on. I was going to quit and I was going to give up, but something rose up on the inside of me and said, you can't quit. You can't give up. You got to take another step and you keep walking. This is the one that made me say the things I said and do the things that I've done. This is the one. Why? He's going to look so little. We're talking about the chief. We're talking about the general of everything, Satan, Lucifer himself. We're not talking about some little weak spirit that you can just tell, you know, to go and he goes. There's different legions. There's different tribes. We know that by the scripture. We know that by the message of the hour. We're talking about the man himself. We're talking about the chief devil in charge. We're talking about the greatest of the greatest of their tribe. We're talking about the one who wears the headdress, makes all the rules, and tells every other devil what to do. We're going to look at him. And we're going to say, this is the one. We're going to have a laughing party. We're going to have a rejoicing party. Amen. When we see him kicked over into hell, never to be no more. This was the one. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And in other words, it must be fulfilled. He cannot allow one jot or one tittle to not be fulfilled, or otherwise he's told a lie. God doesn't lie. Now, man will make God lie. I've heard many men or many women say, God told me this and God told me that, and never come to pass. God's the biggest liar if you listen to men and women. But if you listen to his word, he don't lie. Amen. It must be fulfilled. All the word that God has spoken, it must be fulfilled. God cannot say anything. Somebody say anything. Anything without having it fulfilled. When he spoke, it's a finished work. It's already finished when God speaks it. So take courage tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He said, to him that overcometh, it's finished. It's as good as finished. Somebody's going to take that scripture. Somebody's going to be that one. Somebody, or two, or three, or 100, or 100,000, whatever it is. Amen. Somebody's going to become that. Because it won't go unfulfilled. It's already finished. God never speaks until he's ready for it to be. When he speaks, it's just as well as already happened. Amen. If it wouldn't give us, he said, now if that wouldn't give us a basis to put our faith on this morning, when God speaks a word, it's finished. He said, when he came 2,000 years ago, he said, why did he heal? He said, he healed not to show his power. He healed to fulfill his word. Amen. He saved not to show his power. He saved to fulfill his word. Amen. See, God is concerned, amen, not so much about displaying his power, but when his word is made manifest, it will display his power. Amen. It'll heal, it'll deliver, it'll set free, it'll do all kinds of things, but God cannot say anything without it being finished. Every one of us, mortal men, mortal women, we can all say something. We probably said it already down in our life, and we ain't finished it yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the truth. Yeah, I got some things I ain't finished. We all do. God has some things that ain't finished, but they will be. You may not ever finish what you got going on or what you want to do or whatever, but God will. God's going to finish every part. I'm trying to drive that home because he's going to finish this bride. He's not going to fall off at the end and you know, leave her here and, oh, well, I couldn't get you out of here, so you just got to go through the tribulation. No, God's going to get her out of here because he promised he would. It's written there, so he has to do it or he's not God. Everything he said, he will finish. Therefore, when we receive the word into our heart, it's already done. It's completed, amen. It's finished. That's why when he said, if this doesn't answer the question, if that's why he then said, be baptized, many said, well, why? He was baptized because he was our example. That's true. In a certain state, certain place, true. But that ain't all, that wasn't all to it. The truth of it was, he was the antitype. Now, I looked up the definition of the antitype, something serving as a model for what comes later. So he came as an antitype, amen, showing that there's going to be more of me doing exactly what I'm doing coming later. If I stay here as one man, that's not my desire. I have words to be fulfilled. Amen. I have sayings to be finished. I have something to be fulfilled in other lives and other people. It can't just be in me. Therefore, I must go that the Comforter can come back and fill you with the faith to finish the word. And this is where Peter was. He couldn't finish it in his own self. He tried. He was all of his grit and his tenacity that he had. Amen. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to be the one. I'll go with you all the way. He said, you go before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. Before the cock crows once, you'll deny me thrice. Nah, I ain't going to deny you. Ain't going to happen. He spoke it. Peter, I'm sorry, it's got to be fulfilled. All your best intentions, all you wanted, all your fleshly desires, you tried to do everything you could. You took a sword, and I promise you, he wasn't aiming for no ear. Not Peter, he's going to take his head off because he's the man, he's the leader. But that wasn't the way God wanted things. He didn't want us to be leading by our fleshly desires. And our wants, no matter how good some of the attributes of our flesh can be. That's not the way he wants us to be led. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead as it led him. Amen. And so here he comes, and he denies Christ, and he no doubt worried, and like, man, I done did it now. But when Jesus rose again, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. And he calls them all together. Amen. He said, because I need you to be in a place, because I'm going to come back again, not as who you see, but as the Spirit of God. And I'm going to endue you with power. I'm going to endue you with faith from on high. The same faith that got me to the garden, that got me through the garden, that got me to the cross, that got me to the grave, that got me out of the grave. I'm going to give you that same faith to fulfill the word of God. So he's the antitype. He was the high priest that before he could be anointed, he had to be washed. And we can go through it in Aaron, how they had to wash him, and then they could anoint him with the oil. And it would save time. But here he was the very type of, he said, even types of priests of the day we must be first baptized, confess our sins, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, washing away our sins, washing away all the old man, going down a dead man and coming back up alive. Hallelujah. That we might receive this anointing, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Washed first, then anointed for service. So he was showing us what it was to be. Amen. And he was to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. That righteousness was his word. And he goes on, he says, see, John, you know who I am. I'm the high priest. That's true, John. I need to be baptized of thee. We got to fulfill all righteousness. I need to be baptized of thee so I can fulfill the word of God. Because all the word has to be fulfilled. Sorry. And he said, therefore, we are also the lights of this day, and it's up to us to fulfill all that's written of this day. Why do you think the devil's been after you? Because he's trying to make the word of no effect. Let just one drop fall to the ground, one dot, one tittle. That's what he's trying to do, but he's not going to be successful. Because there's going to be some people that's going to fulfill the word. Amen. He said the light of every age should do the same thing. We know what is to be fulfilled. You are spiritual and know the word of God. You see what God has promised. Now the word will not come to pass just easy. It won't be just easy. Amen. But you got to press your way into it to do it sometimes. See, it behooveth us. It becometh us to fulfill all God's righteousness. We must do it. And he said, if the church of the living God could only get that in their hearts and into their heads and their hearts, that the church will not be separated by some denominational barrier, that differences in creeds and colors and so forth, but that we might come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not having anything to bear us away from the true word of the living God, and walk straight down the line of scripture to fulfill all of God's righteousness of today. Why did Noah build an ark? Because it becometh him to fulfill. He heard the word of God. Therefore, he was commissioned to build an ark, and he had to do what God's word said, no matter how crazy it sounded, how wild it sounded, how it was against science and everything that they had and all the stuff and the knowledge that they had. He knew the plan of God, and he was going to fulfill it because there was something on the inside of him to fulfill the word. Amen. He got past all the education and all of his thoughts and all of his ideas, and he started hammering on this ark. Sure, critics come. Because they had to fulfill their part. That's why we have critics. They have to fulfill the part. We must pass through the hall of critics. They have to fulfill their part. I ain't trying to put anybody in the hall of a critic, being a critic. They just are who they are. Just like Judas was who he was. Amen. But Peter was also just who he was. You are also just who you are. Amen. You're fulfilling it. Why? Amen. Because God's word will come to pass. And this is where he was. This is where he was at. He says, brother, you know, he said, we look at this. And he said, we know what we have. We that are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, we see his works right among us, just like it was in the Bible times. If you believe in that same Holy Spirit, then why isn't he doing the same thing in your church? Well, it's just a bunch, and I'm just reading a quote here. It's just a bunch of mental workup. It's just a bunch of emotion. We can prove that ain't really what it is. No matter what scientific proofs are, they can prove it's just emotional. Quote, that we're just mentally upset, that there's really nothing to this great religion of ours. It's just a bunch, it's just what it is, so forth like that. We're just a bunch of outcasts. Don't believe it. That's a quote. Don't believe it. No matter what anybody says, what any theologian, doctor, science, teacher, you hold on to the word of God. Remember, as Noah was building an ark, we are also building an ark. But this ark is not for the tribulation. This ark is for a rapture. And no matter how much they say there's no such a thing as a baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's no such a thing as divine healing, it behooveth us. It may not behoove you. It behooveth me. It behooveth us. Amen. It's becoming to us. Hallelujah. It's becoming to us to fulfill righteousness. It might not be becoming to you. It might be embarrassing to you. It might be way out there somewhere for you, but to me, it's becoming to me. It's becoming to me to see the word of God preached and the people of God rejoice in it. It's becoming to me to see the Spirit of God fall and our young people get drunk on the Spirit of God. It might not be becoming to you, but it's becoming to me. Amen. Amen. You know, when you say that, see somebody dressed up right, well, that's becoming on you. It looks good on them. It makes them look good. It makes them look the part. It makes them, as Brother Donnie talked about, dress the part. It's becoming on them. It don't look bad. It looks good. Come on, little bride of Jesus Christ. It's becoming to you to be dressed in the Word of God. It's becoming to you to be dressed in holiness and righteousness and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's becoming to you, amen, for the Spirit of God to fall and you lift your hands up and rejoice and praise God. It's becoming to you to see the Scripture fulfilled before your eyes and you can't hold yourself no longer and you say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, I see it. It's becoming to you, mom and dads, when you see your family being filled with the Holy Ghost, that you also begin to rejoice. It may not be becoming to others, but it's becoming to me. Well, there's no such a thing as divine healing. That may not be becoming to you, but it's becoming to me. It behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness, no matter what critics say. Hello. No matter what critics say. Maybe I'll just drop this in. Some of you may have seen in the prayer line where ministers started ministering to me. Lord knows I needed it. Going through some things in my life and situations. Some of it with Sister Ruth and her issues that has been we've been dealing with for now about a year, and a myriad of other things. The devil wants to sit on you, start squeezing the breath out of your life. Feels like you can't do nothing, and everything's messed up. And yeah, you're up here preaching faith, but you don't necessarily feel all that faith. But you're preaching it anyhow, because it's the Word of God. It ain't. We don't preach things because we feel it. All the time. Sure, there's times you get up, oh man, I can't. But you know, a lot of time when you're back there, you come out here and it goes, kapoof. It's a fact. And then back there, you're like, man, I don't know how this is going to go. Because it has nothing to do with you, it has to do with Him. Amen, but through those prayers, Brother Andrew, Brother Ron, amen, the spirits of criticism and things that try to sit on you and try to push you down and try to hold you down and say things about you, and you hear about this and you hear about that, and they call you this and they call you that, it weighs on you, even though you try to push it off, and even though you don't try to grab the old spear like David, David got spears thrown at him all the time. I want to be a David. I don't want to grab the spear and throw it back. Even if they are backslidden Saul. I'm just saying what it is. Amen. They want to throw spears. It shows who you are. But I ain't going to throw it back. I'm just going to keep playing. I'm going to keep worshiping God. I'm going to keep giving God glory. Because it's becoming to me. Amen. Because I've been in the battle with the lion. And I've been in the battle with the bear. And I've been in the battle with Goliath. You might get jealous about David killing his 10,000 and you only kill 1,000, but why don't you grab a sword and start killing some devils and now start adding up a little bit? Amen, but come on, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Those critics, He said, remember, it's becoming to them to fulfill that, because that also must be fulfilled. But the word will remain the same when they're all gone. Hallelujah. And even churches will be no more. God's word will ever remain the same. And it becometh us to fulfill that righteousness. Amen. So we must have the faith to fulfill it. Noah, it bothered him not. He went right ahead with him because he knew God's program. He knew what God was going to do. He knew God's layout because he talked to God. And it was according to the word of God. He went right on, done it anyhow. Whether science or criticism could prove otherwise, matter not, he stayed with God's word and he pounded right away. Why? It was becoming to him. Because Noah was a prophet, and it was ways becoming to him that he kept the word of God and he stayed with it. It's becoming to any prophet, true prophet of God, that he stays with the word. And it's becoming to any Christian, any Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian, to stay with the word. Everything else may look easier. It may look brighter and shinier, this, that, and the other. But beyond all of that, stay with the word. It's becoming to every Christian to stand by God's word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but it'll never pass away. Enoch was a prophet. Enoch knew that he was a type. And he knew that before the floods came, that he had to give an example. So one afternoon, it was becoming of him to take a walk. It was becoming of him that he would take his walk with God. And somehow that day, he just changed path. Instead of going around that same side of the hill, he all of a sudden stepped on the king's highway. And he just kept on walking, and they found him not. Why? Because it was becoming to him. And he said, oh God, let me be like Enoch. When the hour comes that I must take the path, let me just step on to the king's highway. Hallelujah. He said, I can see Enoch as he knew it was becoming to him, for he was a prophet and he knew what was going to happen. He said, see, I can see him kiss his wife goodbye and say, darling, I'll see you later. Take up his children, kiss them goodbye, and go down to his married son, his married daughter, kiss them goodbye. He said, where you going, father? You going out for a little walk? Yep, just a little stroll. But he never took that old familiar path that day. He took the king's highway and he went on to glory. It was becoming of him to do so. He didn't want to leave, but yet it was becoming of him to fulfill all righteousness, because he was a type of the church today. He was a type of the church that's going to take an afternoon stroll one of these days, and one of these afternoons, amen, and they're going to strike the king's highway and away we'll go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't know when that step's going to take you off of the path that you're on, and the next step you're on the king's highway in a new body. Yeah, it was becoming to Noah. It was becoming to Enoch. It was becoming to Daniel. We could go through a bunch of them. You can go listen to this sermon. I've been listening to it many times. But let me go there. Here. They took their stand. It was becoming to them that they remained in that stand. When you come this morning believing that God is going to heal you and you take your stand, it's becoming that you never testify anything contrary to it. He says, that's right. If you don't feel like that, God could heal you, then stay away. You're only, direct quote. Then you're making a mockery out of it. But if you feel that when the altar call comes that I want to take my stand for Christ, if you feel, count the price, count your men, see if you're able to go into battle, see if you're ready. If you don't feel like you're ready, don't come. But if something tells you this is my day, this is my morning, then you come and ever remain there, and don't you move at all. No matter if death faces you and the fog is floating on your face, what do you care anyhow? Stand there, for heavens and earth will pass away and my words will never fail. Amen. Stay with it. Amen. You say, well, I believe Jesus Christ is my healer. I believe it this morning, that he's going to heal my sick body. Something told me to come to church, and I'm here amongst believers. I'm going to take my stand. I believe it. I'm going up there to be prayed for, and when I'm prayed for, that's the stand I'm going to remain. No matter how dark it gets, no matter where it's at, I'll stand on that stand. Hallelujah. I'll stand on that stand. You took the stand because why? It's becoming to you. And once you made the confession, you must stay with your confession because it's behooving to you as a Christian, as a believer, to stay with your conviction. Don't let the devil push you off here or there. You're always mudded up. You're always off the main road. You're always in and out. You're always where you can't stand nowhere. You can't have confidence in yourself, much less anybody else. You can't, no one can have confidence in you either. But you got to take a stand. And when you made your stand, you stand there for. Because it's becoming to you, behooving you to do so. It's becoming to us to fulfill all righteousness. We have some musicians to come. He said, "Old Branham Tabernacle, what kind of word would we give on the day of judgment when we've seen his mighty hand? We've seen his power. We've watched his glory. We've seen what he said, and it never fails. We've seen his person, the great pillar of fire, the light hanging in the room here. We've seen it yonder. Science has taken his picture. We hear the message go forth, right straight to the line. Separate yourself. Don't associate with the unbelief. It's becoming us that we fulfill all righteousness." Abraham professed he was a pilgrim and a stranger. He had nothing to do. He knew nobody on earth. He walked with God because it was becoming to him. For he had seen him. It was becoming to Abraham. For when all the kings were out there, you know, and make him this great big guy and all this, Abraham would have got this great victory and the kings would have met him and all the denominational barriers and all the things that could have taken place. But it was becoming to him, for he knew that God swore to him, "I'll give you everywhere you look, east, north, west, south. What difference does it make whether we got a nickel or a dime? Whether we got something to eat or whether we have it, whether we live in or whether we die, and God promised the meek shall inherit the earth. It behooveth us, it becometh us that we live like it, act like it, must fulfill all righteousness. God wants men and women who will stand and fulfill all righteousness. Of course, righteousness is his word. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, that sermon Jesus was baptized, the reason Jesus was baptized, no matter how it was, if he claimed to be the Son of God, then he was baptized for the remission of sins. He had none, but he had to be washed because he was a high priest. He had to fulfill all righteousness. Suffer it so, John. We must fulfill it. We must do it. We must suffer this to be so. What was he saying? I know if I do this, I may suffer. I may go through hard times. I know I will, but I must fulfill the word of God. He said, "Then I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few." It's becoming to me to do so. It's becoming to you as servants of God that we take the way with the Lord's despised few. We walk godly, righteously, holy in this present life, laying aside every weight that so easily beset us, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. It was becoming to Abraham when he walked up there, talking about Isaac, and he took him up there, and God showed him that he was going to, that he was Jehovah Jireh. But it was becoming to Abraham to fulfill all righteousness. He knew what he was talking about. He knew his God. He knew what God said. God is able to perform what God's made. Promise God has made. God is able to bring to pass no matter what. He said it was becoming to the disciples to go to that upper room. Why? It was becoming because they had met a man, a carpenter, known to the world by a bad name, illegitimate, Beelzebub. But they had seen this man heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, go to the Calvary, go to a grave, and rise again. And they seen him ascend. And it was becoming to do what he said. Go to Jerusalem, tarry there, and I'll send you power from on high. It was becoming. How long? Until. How long will he be, Lord? Just until. Until you're endued with power from on high, then you will be my witness. How long will it last? Unto this generation, unto that generation, as many as the Lord our God will call. I love that. So it's becoming to us to still believe in mercy. Amen. It may not be becoming to you, but it's becoming to me to still believe in mercy and grace and God's mercy and grace in this hour. It was becoming to them. They went to the upper room because they had seen this power displayed. They knew that he died and dead, and they saw him put in the grave, and they saw the rocks belch out, and they saw all these things placed, but they knew he was Messiah. They saw him ascend. And they said, we got to go where he said go. Now, there was a group there that didn't. Well, the scripture says about 500 that watched him ascend. There was only 120 in the upper room, according to scripture. So what happened to the rest of them, 380? It wasn't becoming to them. But those 120 caught a revelation. They caught something on the inside to go there. He said, unto a man and woman experiences what was becoming to them. The Holy Ghost. And then they'll know what they're talking about, and they'll know what they're living about. Then you'll know that it's not just excitement. It's not just the power, but it's the power of God into salvation. It's the Holy Ghost. I know what I'm speaking of. It was behooving the disciples. It was becoming to them to go there and receive the Holy Ghost, but it's also behooving to you. Amen. To receive the same power that they received. So you can have the same faith that they received. They fulfilled their part. Amen. Throughout all the ages, everyone fulfilled their part. And now it's up to us. It was behooving. It was becoming. It must be done. It must happen. It must take place. And he says, becoming to us in this day. Can we stand? We know. We've just been through the church ages. We know we received the Holy Ghost. We know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know we have the gospel light. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's not a clergyman in the world, and nothing else can defy that. How far should this be done? The promise is unto your children, to them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. The prophet said in the light that it will be light in the evening time. These gospel lights will be turned back again, like same sun rising east, sets in the west, and return again. We've received the same Holy Ghost. We know that. We spoke in tongues like they did on Pentecost. We know you can receive it. We know the seventh angel has given this message and seen it vindicated by the signs and wonders. We know we're at the end of the Laodicean age. We know that national strife and the signs and wonders there are appearing everywhere. We know we're at the end time. God bearing witness, and it behooveth us. It's becoming to us to fulfill all righteousness. Nations are against nation. Perplexity of times. Distress like never before. All these things we heard and we have received it. But now we're at the last hour. We're in the Laodicean age. Every messenger has give his message to his age. We're at the end of the age. We see God has vindicated with signs and wonders, and nobody can say anything that it isn't so. He's here now. He's in the church. He's in the people, and nobody can say it ain't so. Hallelujah. We know that he's here, and it behooveth us to take his word and to fulfill his word and let it be fulfilled in our life, everything he has spoken of. He said, in the day of question. I like how you put that. In the day of question. We're in the day of question. Everybody's questioning everything. They're questioning the message. I mean, I hate to tell you, but we ain't seen the last ones leaving. But we also ain't seen the last ones coming. In the day of question, you said that you did what the Father showed you do. In the prayer to your Father, you said that you had finished the work that he gave you to do. And the Holy Spirit now will come upon men, and they must continue the gospel to the end of the age. And we are here. I believe he was saying, and we are here. It becometh us to fulfill it. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts. How many just submit your heart to God and say, Lord, I want to fulfill all the words spoken to me. Let me not let one jot, one tittle fall to the ground. Yes, Lord. I believe every hand's lifted. I believe that's our hearts. That's our desire. I'm sure they're lifted on the stream, those that had to be at home. Lord, I want to fulfill every word. There's demons that still have to be cast out. There's sicknesses that still have to be healed. There's salvations that still have to take place. We must fulfill all righteousness. We must fulfill Mark 16. It's becoming to us. We must fulfill what the Word spoke of me. You must fulfill the Word spoke of you. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, this little thought, just ask God your blessing to our hearts, Lord. Lord, it's becoming to us to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the Word of God. And there must be faith to fulfill. A faith that'll continue no matter how we feel or we see with our eyes. Lord, many times with our own eyes we see a lot of bad things. We see a lot of Syrians around us. See a lot of hurt, see a lot of pain, see a lot of things. God, may you open our eyes to see there's more with us than against us. Lord, the hills, oh Lord, just lined with chariots and fire and horses of fire and angels. Lord, standing ready to bring these last fulfillment of scriptures to pass. God, we must have the faith to fulfill. To press, Lord, to the victory. To press to the finish. We must finish this. Lord, we can't do it on our own. You know, you know this. Lord, you saw Peter try to do it. He couldn't do it on his own. Many couldn't do it on their own. But Lord, with that spirit that was in you, and you finished. And now that spirit moved into Peter and Paul, and they finished. Down through the church ages, and they finished. Down through our prophet, and he finished. Down into us, Lord, and we're going to finish. We're going to finish this race. We're going to finish this course. We're going to fulfill the word spoken of us, because it behooveth us. It's becoming to us to fulfill all righteousness. Lord, forgive us of our grumbling, our complaining, Lord, while the visions are being fulfilled. Lord, may we see what's really happening among us. In Jesus' name. Start singing that.